In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Very shortly, in the penitential rite, we are going to ask for God's forgiveness for the sins that we commit. And we group these sins into four categories. In our thoughts, in our words, in what we have done. But lastly, Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Lord Jesus.
Our God, who manifest your mighty power above all by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us, and make those hesitating to attain your promises heirs to the treasures of heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. May I now invite all the children who would like to take part in the children's liturgy to please come forward. God, our Father, send us the Holy Spirit to guide your children to understand your word. And as we look forward to them joining us shortly for the celebration of the body and blood of your Son, be with us always. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall, improvising the music of the harp. Like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. Yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. The word of the Lord. Thanks.
Blessed is he who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations, alleluia. Praise the Lord, my soul. A
reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." He said, "Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel we have just read this morning as one of the parables of Jesus is so unique in the sense that this is the only parable of Jesus in which one of the characters is mentioned by name. Jesus gave a lot of parables and he doesn't really mention the characters by name. For example, we don't know the name of the Good Samaritan, neither are we told the name of the prodigal son. But in this particular parable, Jesus mentions one of the characters, that his name was Lazarus. On the other hand, one of the characters is not mentioned by name. He is simply called a rich man. Actually, this parable is called the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. In some translations, you will see the parable of Dives and Lazarus. But Dives simply means, Dives is Latin for rich man. So still, the rich man is not mentioned. What we know about him is that he had a great taste for clothing. He dressed in purple garments and fine linen. And secondly, he dined sumptuously, not once a month or on weekends, but each day. So that's the only legacy that he left behind. We know his eating habits and we know his dressing. That's all. Now, both of them died, and Lazarus went to heaven, paradise, let's say so, and the rich man went to hell. Now, why? Was the rich man condemned simply because he was rich? Is it wrong to be rich? What's the meaning of this parable? Is it to make the rich feel guilty? And Lazarus, why was he saved? Is it because he was poor? Should the poor celebrate to say, no matter what we experience in life, but we can be saved just because we are poor. To understand what Jesus is trying to tell us, the first reading provides a foundation for us. We have read from the book of Prophet Amos. And like Jesus condemning the rich man, Prophet Amos in the first reading is also condemning the rich in Israel. And he gives the reason. While they are also dressing in expensive clothes and they are busy celebrating life, drinking wine, they are not concerned about the destruction of the house of Jacob, the house of Joseph. Or rather, they are talking about the northern kingdom of Israel. So, the rich man is being condemned not because of what he did, but rather because of what he did not do. So I introduced this mass by saying we, in the penitential rite, we actually group sins in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do. So the last category, the last section, these are called sins of omission. Failing to do something good. It's interesting, in the New Testament, another word which is translated as sin is hamartia. Hamartia literally means missing the mark. It's an image taken from archery. As you aim for the bullseye, if you miss the bullseye, that's missing the mark, hamartia. So similarly, failing to do good is missing the mark, is a sin. Now, how serious is that? Because we are familiar with the sins of commission, the sins that we actually do, the wrong things we do. But how about the sins of omission? How serious are they? Failing to do good. Is that a serious matter? Jesus in the gospel reading says yes. Because we just have a gentleman who was condemned to hell. Not because of what he did, as I said, but because of what he failed to do. Because we are not told in the parable that he became rich because he was corrupt. We are not told that. Neither are we told that Lazarus became poor because of the rich man. His only condemnation is that he saw Lazarus. He saw that Lazarus was poor, was in need of food, was in need of medical care because he was covered in sores, and he did nothing. Actually, Jesus contrasts the kindness of the dogs with those of the rich man. The dogs had actually outdone the rich man in showing kindness to Lazarus because they were licking his sores. And the rich man did not. My dear friends, this is quite challenging because throughout human history, people have neglected the needs of the poor. People have chosen to remain indifferent to the suffering of others. I'm not sure how many of you have read Dante's Divine Comedy. Literally, the book is about the journey of a soul from hell through purgatory to paradise. And Dante particularly mentions of souls that were encountered as he was about to enter hell. He was greeted with cries of people screaming, and they were beaten by wasps and hornets. And when he found out, certainly since he was about to enter hell, so this was like right in the vestibule, as we are about to enter the church, we enter the vestibule. So since he was about to enter hell, these probably would have been sins of those that had, actually souls of those that had sinned. But he was told that they did nothing bad. But on the other hand, they also did nothing good. That's why I'm sure most of you are familiar with the saying that the darkest places in hell are reserved for those who maintained their neutrality in times of moral crisis. This is a saying which is ascribed to Dante. I'm also told that one of our presidents here in the United States, President JFK, he loved this saying as well. So, being indifferent, the souls that Dante encountered in the vestibule of hell were considered too useless for hell, even for purgatory. Even if we move on, in 1994, there is an iconic photograph that won the Pulitzer Prize. And you can Google it on your phones. If you Google the little girl and the vulture, you see an image of a starving little girl being stalked by a vulture in the background. The photograph was taken by a South African photographer, Kevin Carter. While it talks about the ravaging effects of the civil war in Sudan, the image also talks about humanity. Carter himself mentions that before he took that picture, he waited for 20 minutes to see what would have happened for this vulture to pounce on this little girl who was almost dying. So he waited for 20 minutes as he was positioning himself to take the best shot. While it was an award-winning photograph, Kevin Carter was condemned for doing nothing for the little girl. No wonder then that 3 months later, Kevin Carter committed suicide because of the backlash that he got after taking that photograph. My dear friends, the rich man maybe had reasons for not helping Lazarus. Maybe he was saying Lazarus was too lazy. He would find a job. Or he was saying you can actually apply for unemployment benefits. Or he was saying, if I give him money, he will spend it on cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. But the parable, the point of the parable, is not that the reasons that Lazarus found himself in for his poverty, but rather, there was a rich man who saw a poor man and did nothing, and he was condemned for that. Finally, Jesus tells us again and again that we must take care of the needy, of the poor. So we have something quite interesting in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says there will be a test for those that will make it to heaven. But this will not be a knowledge test. Thank God I passed my knowledge test last Thursday for my driving. I was subjected to so many questions. How far should you park from a fire hydrant? If you see an oncoming vehicle, how far in feet should you dim your lights? And because we use meters, I have to tune my mind to say, what about in feet? Anyway, thank God I passed. But Jesus says, the test that we will take to enter heaven will not be a knowledge test. He actually says it will be a test based on practical love. Those of you that saw me hungry and did something by giving me food, come forward. Those of you that saw me sick and you came to visit me in hospital, please come forward. If you didn't do this, please go away. As we listen to this challenging gospel of Jesus, let us look around our neighborhoods for the Lazarus of our time. And these can be in our families, at our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and let us do something for them. Shall we now profess our faith? I believe in one God, aware of God's presence with us. We now turn to Him in prayer for our own needs and the needs of others.
For the church, called to share the riches of the gospel in both word and deed, and for the compassionate welcome and aid for the millions of refugees who come to live in our midst, let us pray to the Lord. For a concern on the part of world leaders to heed the plight of refugees and migrants, and for people and nations experiencing storms and natural disasters, let us pray to the Lord. For the pursuit of peace in government, nations, industry, and society, and for landlords and tenants, business owners and employees, let us pray to the Lord. For the poor, needy, and refugees who dwell at our gates, and for continued work for the dignity of all people and the life of the unborn, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the homebound, and all those facing pain and agony, and for catechists in their mission of teaching and witnessing to Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For all who have died in Christ recently, and for the physical and spiritual well-being of all parishioners, let us pray to the Lord.
Merciful Father, hear the prayers we bring to you. Help us to acknowledge your greatness and to serve you with grateful hearts. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our offertory hymn is number 488, All That Is Hidden.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God forever. Pray now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Grant us, O merciful God, that this our offering may find acceptance with you, and that through it the wellspring of all blessing may be laid open before us, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we had lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks, as in exaltation we acclaim. Thank you. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memory of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Archbishop, Eusebio and Frank, our auxiliary bishops, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Christ taught us to call God our Father, and so at the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we now dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. blood of Christ. The blood of Christ.
Our communion hymn is number 611, Come to the Water.
Lord and love.
Let us pray. May this heavenly mystery, O Lord, restore us in mind and body, that we may be co-heirs in glory with Christ, to whose suffering we are united whenever we proclaim his death, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
A blessing of pets is October 12th, Sunday at 12 noon in the Mary Courtyard at St. John. And a free organ concert by the University of Washington School of Music is October 18th, Saturday, 7 p.m. at St. Alphonsus Church. St. Benedict first graders are collecting athletic socks for Operation Nightwatch in downtown Seattle as part of their Socktober service project. Donation boxes will be available at St. Benedict School and here in the church from October 1st through the 31st. And St. Benedict's School Mass is on this Thursday, October 2nd at 9 a.m. All are welcome. And it's not too late to sign up for First Reconciliation, First Communion classes. Registration information is in the bulletin or contact the parish office. And October is stewardship season, and we are kicking off our 2026 Parish Stewardship Renewal Drive the weekend of November 1 and 2. We ask that we all prayerfully reflect on our giving plans for the coming year. And stay tuned for more information in the coming weeks. Please see the bulletin for more details on these and many other events in our parish family. And lastly, come meet the new Parish Family 14 Faith Formation Team after this Mass for coffee and donuts. This will be a great time to get to know our Parish Family Faith Formation Team, who are now all working from our parish center. Thank you.
The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go forth, the Mass is ended.
Our closing hymn is number 208, Beautiful Savior.